Hi, and welcome to Late Night with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally, dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. And if the snow keeps up, I might be here till morning, I guess. But if you're in the Great Lakes region, if you ever look on the weather map, there's a mess of snow and blizzard conditions in Chicago and heavy snow and wet snow and freezing rain and mixed snow and rain stretching from across Illinois, northern half of Illinois, northern half of Indiana, northern half of Ohio, into Pennsylvania, across to all the way to the eastern seaboard and heading up into New England. So it's just coming down. I almost didn't get out of my driveway to come up to the radio station tonight. I thought I was going to be a caller to my own radio program this evening. And I guess I could have interviewed myself, but made it out of the driveway. It only took a few tries. And, you know, the amazing thing is I had just pulled into the driveway maybe a little over an hour earlier and hour and a half earlier, something like that. And I didn't have any problem getting in, but I sure couldn't get out hardly. It's just been snowing. I remember I scraped off my front step at about a quarter after eight, and not quite 9:30 when I went out, I had over an inch of heavy wet snow right where I had scraped it down to the concrete. So it's coming down, and the roads, if you're in this mess, it's just coming down faster, I think, than the plows can keep up with it. Now, of course, if you're down in Tampa, Florida tonight, you're just laughing at us. Okay, I understand that. That's why a lot of people in this area are snowbirds and they fly down there. And we were talking about that at church tonight because we had very few people in church tonight because the snow was just coming down. It was just so hard for people to get out. My dad said after church, he said, I think I'm going to get some chili at Wendy's and I'm going to go home and I'm not going anywhere else until all this is over. And I think he had the best idea. But we're getting around. It's one of those things that this is winter, and yeah, it'll be over. I'm confident that global warming is going to melt the snow off sometime, probably in the next 4 or 5 months. But tomorrow's Groundhog's Day, and I'm also confident that the groundhog is not going to see his shadow because I don't think he's going to be able to get out of his burrow. He's just going to be snowed in, and so that's supposed to mean an early spring. If he sees his shadow, it's supposed to be 6 more weeks of winter. Actually, I think the real translation for Groundhog's Day is if he sees his shadow, it's 6 more weeks of winter. And if he doesn't see his shadows, it's 6 more weeks until spring. I think it's one or the other. But at any rate, welcome to the program tonight. If you're down south in the southern part of our listeners, down in Florida, down in Georgia, wherever down that way, and you're listening and you're nice and toasty and warm, that's great. Enjoy that. But I will remember this in the summer in July when we're having a nice cool summer and everything. But anyway, if you're up here in this area and you're listening in an area where the snow's coming down, if you don't have to go out, let me encourage you, don't go out. And I'll take my time going home here tonight. But thank God for snow plows. That's all I can say. All right. Well, we're going to get into our program. Let me open with a word of prayer. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we got to have somebody from Florida call just to tell us just how nice it is down there right now. So at any rate, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for safety on the roads, for being able to get here this evening. And we do pray for those that have to be driving in areas where the snow's coming down. Keep them safe. Lord, bless the program tonight. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing, encouragement, and point people to Christ through the things that we talk about this evening. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, as I said, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's our toll-free number. And whether you're listening on Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN in Tampa, or whether you're listening on AM 1220 WHKW, The Word in Cleveland, Ohio, whatever the case may be, or if you're listening online tonight, you can give us a call anywhere in the United States or Canada on that number, 888-677-9673. And let's see, a couple things I wanted to jump into this evening. First thing I want to lead off with, this actually caught my attention just before I came on the air. There's a speculation about the ancestor of the horse, and I just wanted to share this. When I was at Colorado State University back in the early 80s, studying biology, I remember sitting through a class on evolution, and we studied the evolutionary history of the horse. And probably many of you have seen the chart that shows the little tiny Eohippus, that little tiny animal that supposedly evolved into the horse, and is a beautiful chart. If you go to your local bookstore or your local library, you find a book on horses. Even ones that are being produced every once in a while, I'll go see, and I'm never disappointed. The latest books on horses produced always have some variation of this chart in it. And I think it was back in 1980 or 81, I believe it was. We were sitting in a class, and the professor, who believed firmly in evolution, by the way, and put up the chart of the evolutionary chart of the horse on the screen. And she said, "You've all seen this chart in your high school biology classes." And she went through the chart and all the stuff that we had learned in high school biology. And she said, "There's one problem with this." Now, keep in mind, this professor was an evolutionist teaching evolution. She did not believe in the biblical account of creation. In fact, she taught against it. And she had this evolutionary chart of the horse up on the screen, and she said, "The only problem with this chart is that it's not real." She said, "It's made up." Now, that's what she told us. It's made up. This was a college class on evolution. She said, "We made it up because it teaches what we want to teach, and we tell people in high school and we tell the public that it's real because it teaches what we want to teach, and we don't have anything better." Now, that's pretty sad when you have to teach a theory, and it is the theory of evolution. It's not the law of evolution. It's the theory. And when you have to depend on something that those teaching it know is false, and yet they tell you it's real because they have nothing better. She told us that the little ancestor of the horse that was on there, and this article that caught my attention said the ancestor of the horse lived in India, perhaps, and she said that this is actually a rock hyrax that lives today. So, you know, that's the only thing they had to do. Use a lie to teach a lie. Well, that was the main thing I wanted to say about that. That just caught my attention. Other thing caught my attention, too, switching gears to a whole nother topic. In the Jerusalem Post this evening, they had an article that's titled "Hamas Ready to Cooperate with Iran to Destroy Israeli Occupation." In other words, we have a case where the Hamas leader, Mashal, is set to visit Tehran here shortly, and he is going to reestablish some relationships with Iran. Now, the amazing thing with this is that Hamas is a Sunni Muslim organization, and Iran is the center of Shiite Islam. And the Sunnis and the Shiites have been fighting with each other for centuries. In fact, more Muslims have been killed by Muslims than by any other group. And Muslims kill Muslims more than they kill any other group. And that's because of the battles between the Sunni and the Shiites. They have some differences in theology, and they have been slaughtering each other for centuries over those differences. However, we have the old adage, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And they're more than willing at times to band together to eliminate a common enemy such as Israel. And to me, that suggests exactly what we read in Psalm 83, where the Bible says that in Psalm 83, I'll start in verse number three. It says, they have taken crafty counsel against thy people, talking about the Jewish people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. In verse four, it says, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And it's just about like you can hear that in the words of Hamas and Iran. And what makes this more serious right now, of course, is that Iran, through Hezbollah, which is a Shiite organization in Lebanon and also in parts of Syria, they have been attacking the Israelis in the north. And Hamas is, of course, in the Gaza Strip, which is down in the south and west of Israel along the Mediterranean coast. And, of course, Iran would love to use them as a proxy to attack and destroy the Jewish state, the state of Israel. And, of course, as you continue reading Psalm 83, you see many of these areas identified in those verses, areas where Hamas is located, areas where Hezbollah is located, being confederate together, saying that they want to cut off the name of Israel, that it may no more be in remembrance. And so almost like that's ripped from the Bible, some of those headlines that you can see today. Well, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673 if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And if you're down in Florida and you want to tell us up north here how warm it is, give us a call. We'll take that too. But we've got Jeremiah calling in right now. Jeremiah, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yeah, Pastor, sure got blasted with a lot of snow. I had to shovel my driveway and my walkway.
I took the snowblower to mine last night or yesterday afternoon, and you wouldn't know it today. So I got to work on it so my wife can get out in the morning as well. So, but anyway.
God created the snow and seasons.
Well, that's true. And the snow, there's the treasuries of the snow in heaven. And we're certainly getting an abundant supply of it, pressed down, shaken together, and running over tonight.
I'd like to ask you a topic about the Illuminati. Do you know anything about that?
The Illuminati? Yeah, it's a group that's been around for a while, and it's a source of a lot of conspiracy theories. It's an actual group, and you know, there's various conspiracies surrounding the Illuminati in the just different things, the idea being that they'd like to form a one-world government. I think the Illuminati, I think the best way to sum it up is in 2 Thessalonians. And I've mentioned this before, 2 Thessalonians here. Let me get turned over there real quick.
In
in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says in verses 6 and 7, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed, talking about the revealing of the Antichrist in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And that mystery of iniquity is being hindered. Let and letteth there are used, let and letteth have several definitions. One is to permit. If you look in a dictionary, you don't need a Bible dictionary to figure this out. You can just look in a dictionary. You can go to dictionary.com and figure this out. Another use or definition of let and letteth is to rent out a piece of property or real estate or apartment or something like that. You know, you put it to let, you let it out, you rent it out or lease it out. That's another definition. And another definition is to prevent or you know, to hinder, to withhold, like it says in the previous verse there in verse 6, talking about withholdeth. And so the idea then, as you look at the context to interpret the verse, in fact, I had somebody saying, how can you interpret that verse without a commentary? I said, well, you look at the dictionary. It's a matter of vocabulary. Obviously, it doesn't mean that somebody is currently renting and will continue to rent or lease to the spirit, to the mystery of iniquity in the world. That's not what's being. So we rule that one out. That leaves permitting and hindering. And when you look at it and you see that the Greek word for letteth is the exact same Greek word that appears in verse 6, translated withholdeth, well, that makes it clear. We go with the definition of let and letteth that means to withhold or to hinder. And so that means that the mystery of iniquity is already working in the world, and it's currently being hindered. And the he there, I believe, is the Holy Spirit working through the believers, but it's obviously a hindering action. And talking about the Illuminati, I think the Illuminati is just one manifestation of the mystery of iniquity that's already working in the world. And if the devil could use that to bring the Antichrist into power, he would. If he can't, he'll use something else.
Now, the Illuminati has an influence on the entertainment system.
Yeah, they have an influence on a lot of things.
Like, you know, music and wrestling and sports.
Yeah.
I mean, even at this Katy Perry thing they did at halftime.
I didn't see the Super Bowl, so I don't really know what she did.
they had a halftime show with Katy Perry, and she did a song called "War," and they did a checker thing, and that is a symbol of Illuminati.
Oh, okay. Well, and you will find these things. And let me add something else to what I was saying. A lot of these groups are interrelated. Especially at the upper levels of these groups, you'll find some interrelationships. I've kind of followed conspiracy theories since at least when I was a teenager in the 1970s. And that's the one thing I found is various groups. Some groups become more influential at different times, but the master conspirator behind them is the devil. And the mystery of iniquity that's already working in the world. So, yeah, the specifics of certain groups, they're going to come and go. It's kind of hard to keep track of them all.
I mean, it's like ushering in a new world order.
Oh, yeah, and they're all working toward that goal. In fact, at our Friday night Bible study, we had a little discussion about that. And I was saying, I can remember since all the way back to the 1970s, seeing various groups that put forward plans for a one-world government, and almost invariably, they divided the world up into 10 governing regions. And, you know, there's good evidence that the Antichrist during the tribulation is going to rule over the world, and he's going to divide the world into 10 governing regions. So at coincidence? Well, no, that's because the common master conspirator is behind them all, and that's the devil himself.
Well, hopefully we'll be raptured before that happens.
Well, if you read that passage closely that I was just looking at in 2 Thessalonians, it says that, assuming that the he there in verse number 7 is the Holy Spirit, he's going to be taken out of the way. Well, the Holy Spirit right now is in the hearts of believers. You know, despite the claims of some people that you don't get the Holy Spirit when you get saved, which Paul said, of course, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit, you're none of his. You can't be saved without having received the Holy Spirit. The moment of salvation, you become the temple or the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is taken out of the world in his current ministry, he's not going to leave us because we're sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. And he said, never leave us nor forsake us. So if he's taken out of the way, we've got to be taken out of the way. And that passage says that the mystery of iniquity is being hindered, and it won't be able to come to fruition until he's taken out of the way. So if the Holy Spirit goes, we go. And that would be the rapture or the catching away of the believers. So,
amen.
Yeah.
Talk to you next week,
Pastor. All right. Well, I appreciate that, Jeremiah. Stay safe. Don't go out if you don't have to. Stay in, stay warm. And appreciate that call. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our toll-free number, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. And I think we're going to take Deborah next. We have a couple callers coming in, but we're going for Deborah next. And Deborah, welcome to the program tonight.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Pastor.
Hi, good evening.
Okay, I have a question concerning the Republican Party. I heard this on WHKW in one of the programs that was on, and it caught my attention. It said that the Republican Party's logo used to be a star on their logo.
And then as opposed to the elephant that they use now?
I don't know what they use now, but it said it used to be the star. And then it said up until the year 2000. And then it said, the party said, shortly after that, they changed the star to be an upside down star.
No, like let me back up a second. You're saying that they used this symbol up until the year 2000?
Up until the year 2000, and then shortly, okay. This is what I heard.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, they changed the star to make it an upside down star.
Right, and I understand the occultic significance of the upside down star.
Like into a pentagram.
Yeah, and that's...
And then I heard that...
I'm just not familiar with the star. I mean, I follow politics fairly closely and have been for quite some time. I never remember Republican Party symbol being a star. I'm not saying it wasn't used in some things, but as long as I can remember, all the way back into the 70s, it was the elephant.
Oh, it said the Republican logo on the party used to be a star, and then they changed it to the upside down star. Oh, yeah. And then they said that... Now, if you look on the website, on their website, it has a circle around the upside-down star.
Well, and I understand, again, that it would make that the significance of the pentagram with the circle around it, which is used in a lot of satanic and witchcraft and pagan symbology. Unfortunately, I'm not familiar with that one. Mm-hmm. I'll have to admit that's a new one for me.
They said that it's on the website. There's a circle around the upside-down star, and it is on the website. So I don't know if that's true or not. I never bothered to check it.
All right. Let me interrupt here a second. I just Googled the GOP logo, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And most of them involve the elephant, and I think what they're getting at, there's a series of stars, there's a stylized logo with the elephant, with the bottom part being red and the top part being blue. And in the blue top part, there's a series of three stars on some of these logos, but not all. And they have three stars and they are upside down stars, in that. And then there's another logo that has kind of a flag logo, with the elephant in the center, that red and blue, with the three white stars logo, surrounded by a series of stars. I'm not going to take the time to count the number of stars.
Mm-hmm.
And these stars are white stars in a blue circle, and they're all right side up stars.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell from my picture, but it looks like the ones in the elephant are.
The website? They said the website was, if you check the website current now, it is a circle around an upside-down star, so I don't know. But I just thought that caught my attention, and then because I was wondering, well, who changed that to make it an upside-down star?
Well, I would say that it's somebody in the Republican Party at the upper levels. Yeah, I don't know enough about that.
Yeah.
That's about all I can go with
interesting.
That.
So, well, thank you for your information.
Well, that's about as far as I can go with that, I guess.
Okay.
But I thank you for the call tonight.
Thanks.
And I just one thing I would remind people, our salvation is never going to be in a political party. Political parties are always going to fail us. They ultimately will, because they're the parties of men. And, the arm of flesh, as the song says, will fail you. And so we have to understand that our ultimate hope is in the Lord. And, I consider myself a Republican today. And the reason is, right now, the Republican Party is, on paper at least, I know in practice there's always a lot of difference between on paper, and on paper, they are pro-life and they tend to be pro-family and things like that. But our party's changing. For instance, here in Ohio, there's a move to promote Rob Portman. Now, Rod Portman has a lot of admirable qualities, and he's currently the junior senator from Ohio to the U.S. Senate. And yet, Rob Portman has changed his position in terms of special rights for homosexuals and same-sex marriage, I believe. You see people changing their positions. I'm not a Democrat for one reason, because the Democrat Party as a whole is for abortion, amongst other things. And for instance, there's a Republican congressman in our area here, Tim Ryan, who, though he's a Republican, has always traditionally been a Democrat. He has always been a pro-life Democrat, but he's just recently changed his position to now for abortion. And Dennis Kucinich, which many people remember, he had his perennial presidential campaigns. Dennis Kucinich, a longtime Democrat congressman from the Cleveland area, one-time mayor of Cleveland, was always staunchly pro-life. And the moment he wanted to go on to higher level things beyond being a congressman and start his presidential runs, he decided to get the Democrat vote. He had to be pro-abortion, and he changed his lifelong position to become an abortions advocate. And see, that's a problem I have when people change from a biblical position to these non-biblical positions. We have to be on guard. And the Republican Party one day may very well do that officially. There are those in the Republican Party who would like to do that. The Republican Party is not the salvation of our country. We need our country to turn back to Christ. If our country turned back to the Lord Jesus Christ and followed the Bible, we'd begin electing people with biblical values, whether they were Republicans or Democrats. There used to be a time when you had pro-life Democrats in national office. You don't have that today, and you can't have that today. That's why Democrats who are pro-life become pro-abortion in order to get higher office. Hey, we've got a break coming up. If you're on hold, wait for us. We'll be back for another half hour.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stay tuned in. And we're going to mention a couple things here in just a minute, but want to remind you that we're brought to you, of course, by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights also has calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. You can find them at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, or maybe you have a restaurant and you want to add some pizza, let me suggest that you give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. You don't have to be in Ohio to do that. Give him a call. He'll work things out with you, and you can get started in the pizza business. You got to have good pizza. You got to have good dough. You got to have good sauce. He's got his own recipe, and he's willing to help you get started in your own pizza business. That's East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100, and ask for Gus. All right, we're going to get back to our program here, and I want to mention a couple things real quick before we get back to our callers. By the way, if you've got a call or a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We welcome you to the program. And I wanted to mention that month or two, it depends on how fast I get to it, I guess, we're going to try and redo the openings and closing to our program, and probably the break there as well, reflect some things that have changed since we initially put the program together. Our program's been on the air for about, I think it's about 8.5 years now. It's been a while. It's hard to believe. But we've kind of changed a little bit around with our website address now, and you can actually find us at livewithpastoral.com. And we also have a Facebook page. And so I've been encouraging people to go to livewithpastoral.com. You can find connections to the church that I pastor, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can also find connections to our Facebook page and all of that at livewithpastoral.com, as well as connections to resources and books and things like that that we talk about from time to time. And I need to make that kind of consistent, I guess, across the board, because we've been through about 3 different website addresses, and don't worry, they all go to the same place. They all get there. It's one of the beauties of the internet, but livewithpastoral.com is probably the go-to place there. And we also have recorded audio files of previous programs, as well as for those who are in areas that don't get our Friday program. We have a half-hour program every Friday from 1:30 until 2 o'clock on the Cleveland station, AM 1220 WHKW, The Word. And you can find those programs there as well. All right, well, we're going to get back to our program here. 888-677-9673 is the phone number. Give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. John has been patiently waiting the longest. And John, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you.
Hi, good evening. Welcome. Sorry to keep you waiting there.
Greetings from Florida.
Greetings from Florida. Now, I have a feeling you're not in Florida, well, but you wish you were.
I'm imagining that I'm on a beach.
There you go. My grandmother was a snowbird. After Christmas and everything, she went down to stay with my aunt and her family down in, actually in Tampa area, around about New Year's, and she'd come back when the snow would start melting. So, but yeah, we can all imagine being down there with our Florida listeners tonight and enjoying it. But welcome to the program.
It's just me and Al Gore.
Yeah, that global warming is rubbing off on something. It's and accumulating all over the place.
Oh, you're talking about the Republican Party. I'm glad that I never got in the habit of voting.
Well, voting is a right, and I encourage people to vote even if they're going to vote. I hate to say it. No, I don't hate to say it. I encourage people to vote because even if you're going to vote for somebody that I'd rather you didn't vote for, at least you're exercising that right that a lot of people died to give us. But at the same time, I don't believe anybody should be forced to vote. When I was in the Air Force, I was stationed in England for several years, and I lived off base for a while, a couple of times. And in England, they would have a vote, and I would actually get somebody would knock on my door and say, excuse me, you did not vote in the last election. Uh-oh. And I would say, well, I'm sorry, I'm an American. I'm stationed at RAF Chicksands, U.S. Air Force member. And they would say, oh, I'm sorry, that's why you didn't vote. Because if you didn't vote, they came looking for you. It was against, I guess it was against the law or something. You had to vote. But I would rather people choose to exercise their right to vote. And if they do so, that they would pray and ask God to help them to make the right sort of a vote.
Well, I guess the way I feel about it is if I voted, I'd probably lose God's favor.
Well, I mean, you know, the Bible says if you can't do something in good conscience, if there's doubt, it's sin. And if you can't vote in good conscience, I'm not going to force you to. So.
Well, talking about politicians, I heard that the Prime Minister of the Jewish state is supposed to speak before the Congress.
Yes, Benjamin Netanyahu is going to be appearing. I'm not sure exactly when it is to speak before the Congress.
Do you know what day it is?
No, I don't know exactly when it is.
Because I have a feeling that the Jewish military is going to attack Iran probably in the middle of March.
You know, I would not be surprised. They've been talking about it, and unfortunately, the current administration has made it very clear that they just don't seem to be very much against the Iranians developing a nuclear weapon. Israel has been dropping hints. For instance, about 2 weeks or so ago, they released some photos of an Iranian missile that has the capability of reaching the United States. And that goes without saying, because it was it last year, I think, that the Iranians orbited a capsule with a dog or something in it over top of the, they orbited the Earth with it. And if you can put a capsule into orbit, you can put a warhead over the United States. That's all there is to it. It's the same technology. And Iran has made it clear. And another thing that goes into that mix is that Saudi Arabia, which is a Sunni state that controls Mecca and Medina, the two holiest sites in Islam, they have been threatened by Iran as well, because Iran believes that they should control Mecca and Medina, or at least a favorable Iranian puppet government should, that's a Shiite Islam government. And they just succeeded in taking over Yemen on the southwestern heel of the Arabian Peninsula. It looks like a boot, and kind of where the heel is, that's where Yemen is. And that puts them, I believe, about 400 miles or less from Mecca. And there's a coast road that goes right up there. But it also puts the Iranians on both sides of Saudi Arabia. And that's why last year the Saudis, at one point, had told the Israelis that if the United States is not going to help, we'll let you fly over top of our territory to do a preemptive strike on Iran. And a lot of fast work in the State Department and the Defense Department and different things here and there, high level going between and threats and arm twisting, that was backed off. But when you reach the point, if they don't think that we're going to be with them in preventing this, it's not a hypothetical threat to them. It's a threat in regards to their very existence. And so we could see them, especially with Saudi backing.
That's what I'm worried about.
It could happen. But, John, let me reassure you of something. And I was preaching through this passage last Sunday at our church and this Sunday at our church in Luke chapter 21. Jesus is talking about things happening, and he talks about wars and commotions and nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom and men's hearts failing them for fear and all of this sort of stuff. And he says this in verse 28. This is Luke 21, verse 28. And I think it's one of the most encouraging passages in the Bible. He says, when you see these things begin to come to pass. And I think we can safely say we are seeing those things begin to come to pass. We're seeing the foreshadowing of those events. He says to us, he says, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. It's easy to get overwhelmed. And when you get overwhelmed and you're looking down and we use the phrase downcast, he says, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And that reminds us that God has a plan for us. And,
well,
I'm thankful for that.
I do that, but I guess I worry for all the people that know that are that are mixed up with politics. And
mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the reasons we do this program, and I do touch on politics from time to time. In fact, we talked about the GOP logo in the last half hour, but I don't major on politics on the program because there's the, like I said. Neither the Republican Party or the Democrat Party is going to save us. It's only turning to God, turning back to the Word of God, and that's going to turn us around. But ultimately, we know there's terrible things that are going to happen, and our job should be to try to reach as many people as possible with the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that people can put their faith in Christ as their Savior, know that their sins are forgiven, know that they have a home waiting for them in heaven, because then they'll fall in that category of people who can lift up their heads because their redemption draweth nigh. And we can help as many people as we can escape these events.
Well, actually, I don't. I see a very small percentage of people that would fit into that category.
Well, and when you look at the population of the world as a whole, you're unfortunately all too correct. There's a lot of people in the world who think that the Bible is a bunch of nonsense, or they don't even know what the Bible says. And that's why our job is to go into all the world, preach the gospel, but we're just not doing it. We're not being effective in doing it. One of the reasons our church does this radio program and that we have some people that help support it is because we're trying to reach people and warn people about what's going on, let them know that the Bible makes sense, that it can be trusted, it's a reasonable book, and that reasonable, intelligent people can look at it and see the sense of what God says and make a reasonable decision to trust Christ as their Savior try to reach people so they don't have to go through those things.
Well, I see so many people fooled by the political leaders.
Oh, yeah.
No matter whether it's American or Jewish or Iranian.
Absolutely.
Or whatever, I see that so many people are fooled by them, and ultimately they're going to have to suffer the consequences.
Oh, absolutely. I'm in complete agreement with you on that. If people think, as I said before, if people think they're going to find their salvation in a political party, a political leader, a political philosophy, it's doomed ultimately to failure. It's right. Only in Christ and His Word that we're going to find salvation. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's absolutely true.
I think that time is quickly running out. I think
I agree.
Clock is just about ready to hit midnight.
Well, and let me give you something. Then I'll have to go to our. We got a couple more callers calling in, but let me give you one thing here. When Jesus said that in Luke chapter 21, the very next thing that he goes into is a parable of the fig tree. And without going in and reading all of that and getting into the details, he basically says the generation would not pass away. And if the fig tree represents Israel becoming a state, which it did in 1948, and putting forth its leaves, knowing that summer is nigh at hand, as he says. And he says, verily, in verse 32, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Now think about this for a minute. We can argue over what a generation is and what it means, but it is interesting that Psalm 90, verse 10, I believe it is, or Psalm 90, verse 10, says that a generation is that a man would live basically 70 to 80 years. 70 years, if by strength, 80 years. It gives right. It in 60 and 10 plus, or as well as 40, score being 20. But anyway, it's 70 to 80 years. And what's really interesting is we now live in a time throughout much of the world, the lifespan of people is in that 70 to 80 year range. And that's kind of instrumental, right. Suggesting that that's the lifespan in, or time frame in which we would see the Lord return. And other thing that was kind of interesting, I just saw this a couple of weeks ago looking at some of this material. It said that the fig tree, when it puts out its leaves, it's about 70 to 80 days before you'll find fruit on it. Kind of interesting right. when you think about it, isn't it? But
right.
hey, John, I want to thank you for your call.
Okay,
I got
you.
More callers to squeeze in yet
okay.
tonight. Appreciate that. Stay warm. And thanks for the call. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is the number. And I believe we have Kara next patiently waiting. Kara, welcome to the program tonight. And I think we lost Kara. That happens. If you're out there still listening, give us a call back. We accidentally, I think, missed you there. And give us a call back, 888-677-9673. I hate to see that. She was waiting for a while. But these things happen. It's live radio. We've also got Barb on hold, and we'll jump to Barb next. Barb, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. How are you doing down in West Virginia tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain.
Are you guys getting the snow down there, or are you getting rain? Or?
Not much. I just looked out the door and thought, well, you made it sound like we was getting the blizzards.
Well, we're not getting the blizzard
not
conditions
yet.
Up where I'm at. We're just getting a lot of heavy snow. It's coming down like about an inch an hour, I think. Chicago has blizzard warnings right now.
Well, you know, do you think the groundhog will see his shadow?
Well, if he's up in our area, he's not going to get out of his den.
Oh.
He's going to be covered under a foot of snow or more.
Oh, God.
And, in which case, like I said earlier, I think what it is if he sees his shadow, there's six more weeks of winter, and if he doesn't see his shadow, it's 6 weeks until spring. How's that sound?
Oh, my. Well, I don't know.
It'll get here when it gets here, I think. But
I'm proud to say, Brother Al, I am a card-carrying Republican.
Mm-hmm.
I've always, all my life, been a card-carrying Democrat. But when I heard they took God out of the Democrats, I said, that's it. I'm done.
Well, and that's standing on your convictions.
Mm-hmm.
And I would agree with that, because if the Republicans become a pro-abortion party and mm-hmm. pro-special rights for homosexuals and pro-same-sex marriage, I'm
I'll
done
be
being a Republican. What point would there be? You have
right.
to go where your convictions lie,
well,
or you should go. That's what I'm saying. You should go where your convictions are.
Amen.
And I'll readily admit that there are some people who say, well, the Republican Party has already gone too far away from God's word, that they cannot in good conscience be a Republican. And I'm not quite there yet, but I'm probably walking in that direction.
I think that we who are enlightened know that we need to stand up for what
right.
we know to be right.
Right. I appreciate that. Hey, Barb, I need to get Kara back on the line here yet, too.
Okay. Well, I had a quick question.
Yeah, real quick.
Why? I know the Republicans are more into defending people and going into war quicker than the Democrats. They seem to not want to go into war. But my fear is that these monsters are killing people, and they're just going from town to town murdering innocent people, and there's nobody trying to stop them.
Well, and you know, it used to be that the Democrats were pretty much the same way too. Remember, it was President Roosevelt that prosecuted much of the World War II. And then, of course, President Truman, both Democrats that dropped the bomb on the Japanese that ended World War II in the Pacific.
Iwo Jima.
I think the further you drift from biblical values, the less value you have on human life and defending innocent life. That's kind of my theory.
They need to do something.
Yeah, we need to get our country back to God. Hey, Barb, I got to get our next caller in before we run out of time. Appreciate the call tonight. Stay warm. And Kara, I think we've got you back on tonight. Hello, Kara.
Dearly Liturgical Church.
Hi.
And we recited the Apostles' Creed,
mm-hmm.
which said that Christ descended into hell. In Ephesians 4:9, it talks about Christ descending into the lower portions of the earth.
Correct.
And I wondered if he actually descended into hell.
Yeah, and for time's sake, because I've only got less than 4 minutes to go, actually, if people go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, I think I have something on there about that. But what Jesus did is he descended into the lower parts of the earth, into the abode of the dead. But at that time, prior to the cross, it was divided into a place of paradise. You can see that in Luke 16, and it's also what David and Peter quoted the Psalms where David said in Acts chapter 2, Peter quoted the Psalm where David said that he was confident that God would not leave his, meaning David's, soul in hell. And certainly David is not in hell suffering and wasn't at that time. The abode of the dead or the underworld was divided into the Abraham's bosom section and a place of torment. You can see that Lazarus and the rich man in Luke 16, I believe it is. And when Jesus died on the cross, he told the thief, the repentant thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. Not 3 days from now, but today, meaning this very day. They both died that day. They descended into Abraham's bosom, and then that's where Ephesians chapter 4 says that he led captivity captive. In verse 9 it says he ascended, but he had first descended in the lower parts of the earth. He took the souls of the believers in Abraham's bosom, and he brought them into heaven. They are part of the first fruits. And now when somebody dies as a believer, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe it is, absent from the body means to be present with the Lord for a believer, and Jesus is in heaven, and he's preparing, John chapter 14 says he's preparing a place for us. So that's where we go to be now. But prior to the cross, we descended into the lower part of the earth, not into a place of torment. Jesus did not go into a place of torment. He was in the place of Abraham's bosom, and certainly the people in torment would have seen and heard him presenting himself as the Messiah that they had rejected, and the people in Abraham's bosom would have seen him present himself as the Messiah that they had accepted. And those are the ones led up. The ones who are in torment are still there today, and they'll be there until the last judgment, the great white throne judgment at the end of the book of Revelation. So does that help out a little bit?
Yes, and I just, very quickly, I'm going to hang up and listen.
Right.
Can you tell me what is wrong with an organization like the Masons? I don't know that much about it. I just know there's some kind of secret, mystical, whatever. And I just like to hear somebody, you know, I know you don't have a lot of time, but
yeah, we've got
briefly...
about a minute, I think. And,
okay.
And let me just get a couple things real quick. And I would encourage people to go online and do some searching on that. The big thing with the Masons, it's a level organization of initiation to different levels. And with a lot of those organizations, people at the lower levels are perfectly fine, interested in doing good works and helping and being a help to people and you know, all kinds of things like that, nice and stuff. It's when you get into the upper levels of some of these organizations that you start finding the true nature, because it's like mystery religions. You get into the upper levels and you find out what's at the lower levels wasn't exactly what you thought it was, but that's what they gave you until they felt you were ready for the truth of the upper level. I don't have time to get into that too much, but maybe we'll touch on that another time. Got less than 5 seconds. I want to thank you for listening. God bless and have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenold.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenight.maplenold.us. That's latenight.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 6 p.m. Tune in every week to Late Night with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on WHKW AM, 1220 The Word, and Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. Late Night Live is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.